إيكوماج.
مازلتم متابعينا وزلتم تسمعوا في إيكوماك في تغطية خاصة لفيتا 2022 الدورة الخامسة من منتدى تمويل الاستثمار والتجارة بإفريقيا. وفي حديثنا عن إفريقيا موجود بحثنا ممثلة بحثنا نيجيريا تحديدا في شخص السيد أديشينا إيمانويل Director of the Nigerian Investment Promotion Commission. Welcome Mr. Adishina.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Tunisia and thank you for coming. So first of all, let's start by an introduction, a sort of introduction about the investment in Nigeria, which kind of investment is very developed there, and how we can describe the investment and economic landscape in Nigeria.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let me start with the economic or investment landscape in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Nigeria is a country that encourages investment in various sectors, in mining, in oil and gas, in agriculture, ICT, information and communication technology, power, particularly power.
Cinema.
Creative industry.
Yeah, yes, creative industry. Yes.
So these are all the sectors that Nigeria, there are various opportunities. Mm-hmm. And Nigeria is a country with 36 states and the Federal Capital Territory. Each of the states is like a country on its own. Mm-hmm. The smallest state in Nigeria in terms of population is more populous than Namibia, for instance. Mm-hmm. And the land, Nigeria has over 80 million arable land, over 50% of which is not yet cultivated. Mm-hmm. And we also grant incentives to investors who wish to invest in Nigeria.
Which kind of
like tax incentive, mm-hmm. of a minimum of 3 years and maximum of 5 years, mm-hmm. to investors in activities that are qualified for it, mostly in agriculture, manufacturing, and some other sectors. Mm-hmm. There's a list that's approved by government. So the investment landscape, and then at NIPC, we have the one-stop investment center, where we assist investors who wish to invest in Nigeria to navigate the environment so that they don't have any problem. Or there are about 27 agencies that are located in NIPC, that when investor comes to Nigeria to invest, they come to NIPC, and we, through the various agencies, we get them ready for investment. Mm-hmm. The government has done a lot to improve the investment environment. We rank much better now in terms of the doing business ranking by the World Bank. Mm-hmm. We also have put in place a lot of policies that are investor friendly, mm-hmm. in Nigeria. So the investment landscape is improving. Mm-hmm. And I always advise investors not to wait until everything is perfect, because if you wait till everything is perfect, you may not have the opportunity again. Mm-hmm. But to come in now and invest, and let's work together to see the environment getting much better.
Talking about working together, which the weight of or what is the weight of trade exchange between Tunisia and Nigeria? For example, Nigeria is a big economy. Mm-hmm. Tunisia is a small country, small economy, but there's always opportunities.
Yes.
So what kind of opportunities we can look for, and what is existing now between Tunisia and Nigeria and Africa in general also?
Okay, all right. Well, there are a lot of opportunities that exist for Tunisian investors in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier, agriculture is one of it. Mm-hmm. There are so many investment opportunities in agriculture. There is also opportunity for investment in the information and communication technology. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, medical, mm-hmm. you know, services, education, even though language may be a barrier in that area. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of opportunities for investors in agro-processing, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know which of the sectors, which of the agricultural area, value chain, that Tunisia is good at. But when it comes to use like sesame seed, gum arabic, ginger, cassava, cocoa, these are all areas of cereal. You know, these are all areas of investment opportunities in Nigeria. And Nigeria has several export processing zones where an investor can locate, and you will not have to pay tax, you not pay any custom duty, where you can produce and export. You can also sell locally part of it, but major part of it is for export. So these are areas of opportunity. Like I said, infrastructure is also...
It's not so, there's many opportunities, but it's not so developed till now. So we are asking why it's not so developed till now.
Okay, yes. I think one of the reasons why it has not been developed is because of the, maybe the, I would call it the artificial barriers that have been put in place. For example, to travel from Nigeria to Tunisia, I had to first go through Turkey to come to Tunisia. Or at times, if you go with Air France, you go to France before you come to Nigeria. So it's a bit challenging for people who want to travel for business. You know, this is a country that is just about 4 hours away from Nigeria, but it takes you like 2 days. You have to go through another country to stay for some time before you come to Tunisia. So... but I believe that with the work that has been done by the under the African Continental Free Trade Area, and again, as we had yesterday at the presentation about how the road interconnectivity, the road from Algeria, Algeria to Tunisia, you know, all those roads across Africa, by the time we have that connection and we don't have to go outside of Africa to get to a country in Africa, I believe that it will reduce the time it takes to travel within ourselves. All those artificial barriers will be removed, and it will be easier for us to do business with one another. So I think that is just the artificial barrier that is actually the problem. But I think it's been resolved with this ACFTA.
Short term, or it will take time?
Well, it's you know, if you're talking about government, it can be a short term. It has to be the medium term, but the work has started in the medium term. And then again, I think lack of awareness of investment opportunities in both countries. Nigerian businessmen are not aware of investment opportunities in Tunisia, just like Tunisian businessmen are also not very much aware of investment opportunities in Nigeria. And one of the things that this conference has done is that it has opened up a lot of, it has created awareness for investors from different countries to know what they can do in Tunisia. And it has also allowed Tunisian businessmen to know what is available in African countries. For instance, we just had a Nigerian session. We had a forum, a side event, where we made a presentation of Nigerian investment opportunities and investment climate to Tunisian investors. So, and many of them have been showing interest. At our stand, we've had a lot of visitors showing interest in to invest in Nigeria. So I think going forward, I expect to see that barrier is gradually broken, even in the short term, you know.
But if we look outside, we will see that the trade of underdeveloped countries in general, between them, it's always less than the trade between development countries. It's always, it represents a small portion or proportion, if I can say that, of the trade in general. So how we can explain that it's a matter of general policies of countries, of governments, or it's a matter of problems of infrastructures, or I don't know, but it's very problematic to develop the trade, intra-African trade, and many countries try to do that for a long period and many years, but it doesn't function.
Okay, yes, you are very correct about the fact that the trade, intra-African trade, is only 2% of global trade, just 2%. Africa trading among themselves. Of all the global trade, is only 2%. And Africa, in terms of population, you know that Africa is more or less, maybe India and China, Africa is the third largest in terms of population. But yet, our contribution to global trade is only 2%. And I think one of the reasons is what I mentioned earlier, the artificial barrier of, it's easier to travel to UK, for instance, than to travel to Tunisia from Nigeria. So that's one. And then the second is the fact that maybe many countries are still being loyal to their former colonial masters. The historical, their trade history, like Nigeria, up until now, United Kingdom is still Nigeria's largest trading partner because they were our colonial masters. And I'm sure France is also the largest trading partner for many French-speaking African countries. So that's a relationship that has been built over the years.
But it's not also a matter of a lack of productivity in Africa in general?
It is. Because the standard, for instance, the quality of the products that come out of Africa, most time don't meet the standard expected in those European and Western world. So I think for us to be able to meet up, we need to improve our standard. We need to improve the quality of our exports in order to be able to participate in the international market. So
that's the main reason,
It's not the main reason. It's just one of the. Well, it's a major reason. It's one of the major reasons. It's one of the major reasons. So we need to improve the quality of the products. Why I say it's not the major reason is that, if Africa begin to trade among ourselves, despite the so-called low quality, we create another market. Then we will not have any problem, because now the issue we have now is that it's like a buyer's world. They dictate the price of what they want to buy because we don't have a choice. But by the time we create the market among ourselves, there will not be competition for African products, and then we will be able to, penetrate the market, because as it is now, we don't have any other place to sell to, except to Europe and the Western world. And now they decide how much to buy. But if we are trading among ourselves, I believe that that will, because of the monopolies that is being broken, it will reduce the price. It will also increase our penetration of the international markets.
What do you think about regions or programs like ZLECAF, for example? What do you think about the implementation of that kind of zone?
Of what?
ZLECAF, the free trade zone.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, or maybe you are talking of international agreements. International agreement or free trade zone?
Free trade zone, free trade zone.
Yes, African continental free trade area. Yeah. You know, it's it has actually, Nigeria, I mean, most African, African countries have signed the
Nigeria
agreement.
Nigeria is part of that.
Yes, Nigeria also signed about two years ago. And I think it's in the early stage now.
What it can change? What are the main things that can happen?
What I expect that it will happen is that, like I said, it will encourage intra-Africa trade. It will encourage African countries to trade among each other. And also, it will also help to improve the business environment in Africa. Because now, Nigeria, for instance, our pride used to be that we are the most populous country in Africa, that we have the largest market. Mm-hmm. But now, with AFCFTA, you can set up your factory in Ghana and sell in Nigeria. So it has become one big market. And it is only those who are able to create a conducive business environment that will attract investments. Because the issue of location will not be a problem. You can begin to produce in Tunisia and sell in Nigeria. No barrier. So it will make every country to want to improve their business environment.
But is it realistic, really?
Yes, it is realistic. It is. It is realistic because...
Because it takes too much time to be implemented.
Yes, I know it takes too much time, but I believe that once that started, it will continue to... You know, and again, you know, a lot also depends on the private sector. Mm-hmm. The private sector have to drive it. If they continue to rely on government, it may slow down a bit, but private sector will have to drive the FCA in order to make it to work.
Mm-hmm. Let's conclude by the Nigeria and Niger and Algeria, the three countries, Nigeria, Niger and Algeria, have approved last February, the roadmap to develop a trans-Saharan gas pipeline, I think.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to say something about that, the importance of that kind of project.
Well, the project has been on for some time. Mm. And but the good thing is that it's still on, and I think it will be part of those. You know, I mentioned it earlier that this issue of the road and then the gas pipeline that's being created between Nigeria, I think Algeria, and is it Tunisia?
Tunisia will be part of the
yes
the road,
along yeah. that that corridor. Mm. It will actually help, you know, to facilitate trade and investment across the corridor. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good effort, and that is not the only initiative. There are other initiatives, and they are all going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mr. Adesina Emmanuel, Director of Nigerian Investment Promotion Commission, for all this information and for your presence today with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And hope you you will have the time to discover Tunisia.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. نحن مازلنا مواصلين معاكم حتى الماضي ثلاثة وضيوفنا مازلوا متواصلين معنا باش نواصلوا نرجعوا بعد لحظات باش نحكيوا على القطاع السياحي مرة أخرى. وضيوفنا باش يكون ضيفنا السيد مصدق بالي رئيس مدير عام شركة أزلاي أو مجموعة أزلاي للنزول السياحية, واحدة من أضخم مجموعات وسلاسل النزول في القارة الأفريقية.